Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we are going to talk a little bit about the physical reality versus the spirituality reality. And yes, there are very distinct differences. And the reason why I wanted to have this conversation is because there's a lot of people awakening. Obviously, the darkness is being exposed en masse. I think people are finally awakening to the fact that something is very, very wrong in this world, and what's happening in terms of on the political stage, what's happening on the economical stage, the decisions that are being made, it's everywhere. Like, I don't think that you can turn a blind eye to it anymore unless you completely stay off the news and social media. I don't think that you can turn a blind eye to it anymore. And I feel like darkness is really being exposed. And I think it's really important for those people who are just awakening to have somewhere to go or, you know, find effective information that's actually going to help you, which is something that Tiara and I really strive for. And it's also another reason why we have the community, because you do get access to myself, you get access to Tiara, who have I've been on this journey my entire life, so I am quite knowledgeable. Tiara's been on this journey now for about 6 years, and We both have just had very different experiences in terms of our spiritual journeys, even though our paths have intertwined with each other. Like, I'm talking about past lives here, but we also have honed our spiritual gifts to really be able to help the collective. And this is what our spiritual community on Patreon, the Higher Vibe Tribe, is all about.
Yes, and I've said before on this podcast a couple times on a couple other episodes that everyone needs an Allie, because she's a big reason why I've gotten where I am in this journey. And, you know, sometimes you just need that second set of eyes. You need that other person to help you see the things that perhaps you don't see, or fill in the pieces that are missing for you. So that's sort of what the Higher Vibe Tribe is meant to be. It's meant to be that space where we can help fill in the gaps for the other individuals that are there, because community is impactful and it's important, but it's also so essential if you want to change and if you want to achieve and attain something for yourself. This isn't a journey you can do by yourself. It's not something you can do alone. And so, as individualistic as many of us are, the reality is that you just need support sometimes, and that's okay. So that's another reason why we do have the Higher Vibe Tribe. Please go check it out. You can find it on our website, which is www.goddessvibrationstudio.com.
Absolutely. So going back to spirituality and physical reality, I often like to say that the attachment to the material is a detachment from the spiritual. And really what that means is there are multiple realities that exist. And when we get trapped into this matrix, this 3D frequency existence and programming, we are often very consumed with the grind, the matrix grind, which is basically the comforts of having a home and needing to keep that household running and needing to pay your bills. And obviously I understand all of that. You need all of that to live, but I feel like there is this movement happening where people are starting to downsize. People are starting to become more minimalist. People are starting to look into alternatives of living, such as off-grid living or community living or eco-village living, because people are awakening to the idea of material items don't make me happy, they don't fulfill me. And more people are looking for inner peace, which is the spiritual side. And people are looking to detach more from this said matrix so they can find peace and happiness. And I strongly believe that we cannot have both, that you can't be so focused on the spiritual aspects of yourself while being so in the grind with your ego, because your ego is going to tell you you have to be living this way, but the spiritual is more free and more open, and the ego is more closed-minded, and it's like, it's got to be this.
You know, it's so interesting because I see a lot of people either attempting to do both or kind of doing both in some way. So, like, I know people who are spiritual and they have that interest in spirituality and they want to, or at least they're curious about doing some of the deeper healing work, but they also work a 9-to-5 and they're also really busy and they're really distracted. And it's interesting how the grind and being in the matrix in that way can hold you back from doing some of that deeper spiritual work, because it's almost like you get to this place where you either don't have the time, you don't have the energy, you don't have the focus to even consider this other aspect of yourself and doing any of that work. Because, I mean, like, why should you? Like, you've got this job, you're trying to survive, you're trying to pay your bills, you don't have time for spirituality. So I definitely see how it can keep you from doing the deeper level of introspective work and introspective reflection, because, I mean, like, there's no room for it.
Well, Tiara, as a person who recently got out of the matrix, Tiara got out of the matrix 16 months ago, and I know that you've been trying to do both. So can you talk a little bit about your experience of trying to do both? Did you struggle? What were some of those struggles?
It's interesting because it's almost like we have this physical reality, right? And we have these physical needs. Like, yeah, I need a place to live. And yeah, I have bills to pay. And like, yeah, you know, I need food. And who's going to provide that for me but myself? And then it's like this other aspect of you that's like, okay, but I want to achieve this. And I have these dreams and goals. And I don't know that those dreams and goals are going to bring me, like, the material things as well. So you kind of get to this place where you feel like you need to choose, and it leaves you conflicted, or at least it has left me conflicted, because it's like, well, dang, can I have both? Like, I don't know if this spiritual stuff is going to pay off in the long run. Like, I don't know if this stuff's going to pay the bills. I know that this other stuff, this matrix stuff, will at least pay the bills, but I also know it's not going to be fulfilling. So you get, or at least myself, I've kind of been in this quandary where I'm like, well, I don't know which path to take. And it's very confusing and it's frustrating. And at least for myself, I've kind of been going back and forth with it. And I kind of get to these spaces sometimes where I'm like, all right, I love this. For example, this energy work, I've been doing it. I have clients, you know, it's people have interests. I'm getting great feedback. I'm not seeing, like, the money coming in like I need. I'm not seeing, you know, the empire that I want it to be. Am I doing this right? Should I consider just going to get a job? Do I need to do that on the side? Like, and, you know, with my thinking, hyperactive thinking mind, like, these are the things that go through my head. So for me, it's just kind of been like I've been in this quandary almost where I'm not quite sure the best path. I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like in the future. And for me, that's also been another thing, is worrying about the future and worrying about long term, is this going to pay off? Am I going to be able to do this long term? What if something happens to me? Like, you know, what if I can't do this anymore? Like, am I setting myself up for future failure by choosing the spiritual path and the spiritual healer path? So like, these are just the things, at least for myself, that come up and that have kind of made it difficult for me.
Okay, so Tiara is actually talking about spirituality versus reality when it, in terms of career for our listeners. But I'm just talking about just you against yourself. Okay, because I feel like a lot of people are there. A lot of people are just like, okay, so I am in this matrix. I think that's what people are actually awakening to, is that they are in this matrix and your life is like Groundhog Day. I love that movie. I know Tiara hasn't seen it, but it's basically living the exact same day over and over and over and over and over again. And it's like, you just become bored in it. You become complacent in it. And it's just like, when is it going to be different? When is something new coming? When is my day going to change? And so what I'm really talking about is that, I'm going to just reference Buddhism here for a second, because in Buddhism, they teach you that all life is suffering. And what they mean by that is, when they say all life is suffering, it means that the more that we want, the more that we want things, the more our lives are going to suffer, taking us further away, because the more that we want things and the more that we set goals and the way, like the more that we move the end goal, because we're always seeking something, right? It's just like, okay, at the beginning of your career, you want a promotion because you want to make more money. So when you make more money, what does that mean? Oh, it means that I can upgrade my life. It means that I can get a nicer place to live and I can get a nicer car and I can, you know, climb up this social ladder in terms of success when it comes to material items. So when we're constantly wanting things, then our life is suffering in Buddhism. So basically in spirituality, like when you become a monk, when you decide to go that route and like become a monk or a nun, and you just kind of give yourself to God, or you give yourself to whichever religion you're giving yourself to, you have to untrain yourself and teach yourself that it's not about the material items. Like when you become more in tune with yourself, you realize that you're seeking inner peace, you're seeking inner happiness, you're realizing that by wanting all of these things, you are suffering because you're stressing yourself out trying to reach the next goal. And so in spirituality, I saw the most interesting TikTok the other day, where this woman was saying, oftentimes very, 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 very spiritual people, because you give up a lot, are extremely poor. And they are some of the most happiest people on this planet. Now, I'm not saying that like you can be spiritual, that you can't be spiritual and have wealth. You absolutely can. But I'm just speaking on a general term here, that oftentimes I think she's right. I believe what she said is to be true, is that very, very spiritual people often are poor in terms of material items.
Oh, I could absolutely see that. I mean, I've had that thought too, of like letting go of all materialism and just living like in a hut in the woods, in complete connection to nature. And I know that that's a way that can bring peace and contentment.
Absolutely.
So I've absolutely had that thought and had those thoughts before about, you know, minimalizing and realizing that fulfillment doesn't come from things. It's something that comes from within. Absolutely.
Right. And you know, I've been very fortunate that, like, I think from the age of 10, my mother has, like, put, you know, has put that thought into my brain saying that money doesn't buy happiness. And, you know, I noticed that my parents lived very different lives from a lot of people. And, like, I remember asking them, like, as a teenager, I was just like, why do you guys live like this? Not that my parents, like, lived in any bad way. My parents were very much middle class people. But, you know, I noticed that my parents never, we had the necessities. Like, my parents lived very comfortable lives, but, like, they weren't thriving for more. And I remember, like, I had asked them, I was just like, why don't you guys, you know, want to upgrade your car or upgrade your house? Or, and I asked them that because I noticed that, like, I had friends in my life where, you know, their parents were, you know, remodeling their house and, you know, getting newer cars. And I'm just like, huh, I wonder why my parents don't do that. So I went to them and I asked them one time, and my mother was just like, why? We don't need it. Like, she was just like, we have a perfectly running car. She's like, we don't live beyond our means, because if we live beyond our means, then that's when we start struggling, and that's when we have to start making sacrifices. And that's when, like, my mother was like, we have everything that we need. We are very comfortable. We don't live beyond our needs. And she was just like, this is how we're able to survive financially. And so I learned a very valuable lesson through that as a teenager. And she always said to me, she was like, money doesn't buy happiness. She was like, your father and I, like, we are so happy because we have everything that we need, and we're not killing ourselves, stressing ourselves out, trying to get more. And I thought that that was a very valuable lesson.
That is a profoundly valuable lesson. And I feel like in our society, especially in the West, like, we're so consumption driven and we're so focused on, like, keeping up with the trends and keeping up with the Joneses that we sort of, you know, as you mentioned, lose the bigger side of what makes us happy. And I don't know why this is still a thing in our society. Like, I feel like that whole idea that money can't buy happiness isn't fully grasped. And I can't tell if it's just, like, people don't really believe that, or I've even seen some people say, like, okay, maybe it doesn't buy happiness, but it helps. Or, but, like, it makes things easier. And, like, I kind of get where they're coming from with that, but I feel like we have this tendency to go extreme with it, or it's just, like, it becomes our central focus to everything we do. Like, our central driving focus when it comes to our careers and the way we live and the way we exist, like, everything's centered on money or consumption. And it makes sense that so many people are stuck or feeling unfulfilled or feeling stagnant, because our priorities are so, you know, disconnected from what we should really be focusing on. So it's just, it's a powerfully valuable lesson, but I also think it's one that many people still struggle with. And I know for me that I absolutely still struggle with it.
Oh, people absolutely struggle with that, because, I mean, that's really how we were programmed. We were programmed saying, like, you know that you have succeeded in life when, you know, you have the big house with a 2-car garage and mm-hmm. the white picket fence, and you're married with 2 kids and 2 dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they're just like, that's your end goal. That is, this is why you go into our system. In the Matrix, all they do is they program us to become their workers, to make them more rich. That's all the Matrix is. And so, and then they tell you, this is what success looks like. You know, you own all these things. You have the house, you're married, you have the white picket fence. I remember being in elementary school and learning that. And I'm just like, huh, okay, well, that's, if that's the end goal, then that's what, you know, that's how we're gonna engineer our lives around reaching the end goal, because that's what we were taught. But what I feel like a lot of people get lost in that. And I know I definitely got lost in it. I'm very happy that I snapped myself out of it. But, and I know Tiara definitely got lost in it. And it's just for those people who got it, because I am very fortunate to have older friends. And for those people who got it and achieved those things, they were like, yeah, it did not make me any happier. And I think that there's a lot of value in that, because when you have friends who are different ages who have gone through different experiences, like, you can learn from their experiences. And really, all it did for me hearing some of those stories was go back to my childhood when my mother was trying to teach me, like, money doesn't buy happiness. Now, money is a very interesting energy, because money is a neutral energy, because everything is energy. And so money can be manipulated for good or evil, because I say evil, it's not, you know, good or bad intentions, but because money is a neutral energy. Now, money, I wholeheartedly agree that money does not buy happiness, but I will say that money can buy freedom. And through freedom, yes, you can find happiness. And there are very fortunate people on this planet where people have been able to use that money to buy their freedom, and then they become a more spiritual person because they have the time and the energy to work on themselves. But if you are unfortunately not one of those people where you have enough money to buy your freedom, then you are kind of stuck at this crossroads where you're just like, I don't want to be a part of this rat race anymore, but I don't know what will happen to me if I don't stay in the rat race.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It's like you, because once you start thinking about escaping the rat race, now your mind is rattled with uncertainty, because the rat race is all you know. Like, you have spent your entire education, and just as an example, your entire education and career focusing on a specific path forward that's going to bring you material success and a way that you can live and pay your bills and make a living. And outside of that, everything else is an unknown, because at least with the rat race, we know that, yeah, you can attain success and a way of living. Like, at least we know that with the rat race. With the other potential avenue, it's total uncertainty. So the focus then becomes, I just need to trust that this outcome is going to work out for me. And I think that that's where a lot of people struggle, because we exist in a reality where we need, what have we called it in the past? Assurances and like guarantees. Like, oh, if I'm going to make this choice and decision, like, how do I know this is going to work out? Like, what if it doesn't work out? Then I'm left with nothing, and I've stepped away and changed my entire life, and it's amounted to nothing. And I think that that's a big struggle for a lot of people. And it's one that I still wrestle with too, is just like, dang, like, what is the potential outcome here for upending my entire life in the way that I have? Because I'm still not sure.
Well, I think that, and this is why I wanted to talk about the distinction between like physical reality and spiritual reality, because there are very fortunate people who have been able to obtain both. But I do think that that's more rare. But I think it's important to highlight that the spiritual journey isn't about the rat race. It's not about material goods. It's not about consumption. It's not about wanting and fueling your ego. Like, the spiritual journey really is about rediscovering who you are and rediscovering your origins and why you're here and what lessons need to be learned, and learning and clearing karma with those who enter your lives, because most people that you have relationships with, I can almost guarantee you that you have known them in past lives or you guys are part of the same star system, or you have interacted with them in some manner, most likely in your past lives. And so it's really important to be able to, I think you need to distinguish what's more important to you when making this decision. But I do believe that it's very, very difficult to obtain both. And I think that that needs to be highlighted, because people want both. People want the material success, but people also want to be healed and happy and have peace. And if you actually look at the collective, it's just, I have questions. How many people feel like they have succeeded in both manners?
That's a great question. I mean, I know it's out there, but again, it is very rare, as you said. And the thing about like online and social media is that, you know, you can't always believe what you see, right? So maybe there are people out there claiming, hey, like I work this 9-to-5 and I'm also a spiritualist and I give coaching and that's succeeding too. I mean, I'm sure those people exist and, you know, good for them. But I do think that's the exception. And I know for myself, like, it wasn't just about wanting the material things. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, for me that was the primary focus. Like, my whole focus was, oh my God, how am I going to survive? And initially, when I was getting started in this journey, I had other business avenues that were spiritual related or tied to spirituality in some way. And I was also working full time. And I was like, all right, well, this is the trajectory I'm going to go. I'm going to continue working full time. And then once this thing on the side shows success or takes off, then I'll be able to quit my job. Like, that was the way I wanted to go about it. That was the way my husband at the time supported my endeavors. That's something I had seen other people do in the same space. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do that. And then when it didn't materialize that way, that's when I was just like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. I don't know which path I'm supposed to take here. You know what? Let me just scrap this spiritual business and I'll just stick to the matrix stuff, because that's what's shown to be successful. This spiritual stuff over here didn't work out. So clearly something's not right. Like, that was my mentality going through with it. I think the bigger issue was that I was trying to do both. And obviously nothing manifested, because the choice that I made and my intention wasn't fully clear, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but I'm not, okay, let's remove the career aspect and trying to make money in spirituality. Let's just remove that for a second. Let's just talk about the spiritual journey from an individual's perspective, because it took a lot for me personally, because when I was part of the matrix, I did find success in my career and I was definitely a consumer, 100%. And it's really interesting, because when I decided to go travel, I got a backpack. I didn't even travel with a suitcase. I was just like, how do people travel the world? And backpacking was very common, still is very common. And I lived out of a 55-liter backpack for years and years and years. And when I decided to take that trip, I packed up all of my stuff. I put it in a storage unit. And living out of this tiny backpack for years and years and years with literally under 20 pounds worth of stuff. I traveled very light and I traveled around 20 pounds worth of stuff. And I eventually just stopped missing all of that crap that I owned that was just sitting in storage. And I learned that there was a new way to live life. Like, I learned that you don't need a lot to live. You don't need a lot to survive. It's in terms of material traveling, really opened my eyes to how I look at my relationship with money, how I look at my relationship to material items. Because I went from this, I got to have top of the line stuff. I have to have, like, because that's what I thought was success was. Like, I just, you know, that's, I was part of that programming. And then when I removed myself from all that and I'm living with 20 pounds worth of stuff for years and years and years and surviving and being actually even more happy than I ever was with all of that stuff, it really started to shift my perspective and be like, the less that you own, the happier you freaking are. Because it's like, I don't have to keep up with, you know, what I am being told is successful. I don't have to keep stressing myself and, you know, figuring out how can I afford that because I need that to look successful. And my brain was just so ingrained into all of those things that I just had to have because, you know, I lived in San Francisco. It's a very wealthy city. People have money. Everyone looks good. And I wanted to keep up with that naturally because, you know, who doesn't want to fit in? So like when I traveled and, you know, I went traveling without makeup. I went traveling without like my mass wardrobe. And I was just like, wow, this is very different. But I also was like, I feel lighter. Like, and I didn't miss all of that stuff that was sitting in storage. And so it's really an interesting, like having lived through it, it was a very interesting experience for me.
Yeah, and it makes sense that, you know, that type of profound shift took place for you because through the experience itself, you realize, yeah, I don't need these things. And when you're in it and you're in the rat race, like it's harder to have that perspective. It's like, you kind of gotta find that impetus to want to live differently and be different. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what it takes to like put yourself in that space or send yourself into that space. Like for me, it was mostly just wanting to like simplify my life. And I do still want to simplify my life. So when I left my marriage initially, like, I think I tossed out like half my stuff because I was just like, well, I'm going in my car and I'm driving cross country and there's like no way I'm going to be able to take all this stuff and it's just not going to work, right? So it came down to like practicality. And then once I made it to California, I was just like, you know, if I want to travel and do more trips like I did, for example, the trip to Colombia, like I really got to start thinking about simplifying my life further because there are other things I want to do and many things I want to see. And my circumstance right now is temporary. Like I can't stay in the spot here in California forever. Like I'm going to have to simplify further. So for me, it's kind of been about wanting to experience more things and recognizing that in order to do that, I am going to have to simplify my life because I can't take all this stuff with me. So like, I guess it's kind of similar to what you described, Allie, but just in a very different way. Like for me, it was like more about like the practical aspects of it and recognizing that these things can't go with me. At the end of the day, how do they serve me? Like, I mean, the stuff's not going to go with me when I die. Like I've absolutely had that thought too. So like, even through that, you kind of recognize that materialism in and of itself is a hindrance. Because, you know, Ali's right. Like, it comes down to how can I maintain the status quo and maintain this lifestyle? Because these are the things that I want. And that's a burden. It's an absolute burden.
It is. And I think it's important that once you remove some of those blocks and you really start reconnecting to yourself, you learn that you, A, don't need those things, and B, the less that you worry about them, the more peace you feel, because the more peace comes to you, because it's like you're not constantly stressing about, oh, I have to have that next iPhone, or I have to have the next tech, big tech thing, or I have to have this, and I have to have a gym membership to Orange Theory, which is a really bougie gym. And like, it's just, why do we invest so much time and energy into like wanting the bougie gym and wanting the next new phone and wanting, you know, obviously there's a reason why they come out with something new every single year, because it's just like, oh, I gotta have that next thing. And, you know, we save for it, we stress about it, we set money aside for it. And it's just like, for what? Okay, you have it. Does it, it's cool. But does it bring you happiness? Does it make your life better?
No, it's just instantly gratifying.
Right. Instant gratification. And mm-hmm. really, I will also say about my travels, something that I learned was experiences are the true value to life.
Yeah.
And just being as fortunate as I was to be able to experience traveling and going into all of those different countries and doing anything and everything enriched my life on a level that no material item could ever, ever bring me.
That's beautiful. I love that.
I often reflect about my travels and like the things that I've done and the things that I've accomplished. And I compare it to like growing up in the Matrix, and I compare it to the things that I was taught in school and, you know, being part of the Matrix. And I often think to myself, having been able to experience both, what has brought me more fulfillment in my life? What has brought me more knowledge to my life? What has brought me more fulfillment to my life? And all of it, hands down, experiences. Because you will never, ever, ever get that in school. Ever. I learned more traveling than I could have ever learned in a classroom. Because when you travel, you're in different countries and you can't speak their language, you don't know what their culture is really like, because you know, unless, like, yeah, you can read stuff online, but you will never know until you are in that country, meeting people firsthand, not reading crap online, and having real conversations with these people and learning real from their perspective, from their experiences, how they lived. And I was just like, you would never learn any of this from a book in school, ever. And I was just gonna say, and through those experiences, I have learned so much about life. So much about life, which adds so much value to my life that I can never express the gratitude I feel for having those experiences.
You know, I will say too, like, I obviously haven't had the same travel as Allie has, but the one travel experience I did have was immensely positive, and it was life-changing in many ways, because it kind of showed a different way of living and a different way of existing that I hadn't really considered prior. That, like, yeah, I can exist in this little space without two cars. And actually, I didn't have any cars at all when I was in Colombia, but I kind of had the thoughts that, like, you know, I can exist like this. You know, I don't need the cars, I don't need the things, I don't need the big house, I don't need, you know, the white picket fence. I think I can make this work long term. Like, you know, those were kind of the things that I sort of was reflecting on when I was in Colombia for those 5 months. And, you know, I had a few very profound experiences, and I'm still grateful to have had that opportunity, because it did show me another way of living and another way of being, and that it was possible and doable, and that it wasn't all doom and gloom if it didn't go the way that my mind thinks it should, which is like the material goods, the house, the big house, the dogs, the cars. Like, it just showed another way of living. And I'm glad I had that opportunity at the end of the day.
And so I just wanted to kind of highlight in this episode the difference between like physical reality and spiritual reality, because it's really through experiences that we learn. And that's why I will always, always encourage people to have as many experiences as possible outside of your daily life. And it doesn't have to be traveling. Obviously, traveling is amazing. And I don't think there's very few things that can replace traveling. But I mean, if you don't have the means to travel, try something new within your hometown. Like, there was a brief stint where I was living in Austin, Texas, because I was just like, well, I had my traveling experience. It's time to go back into the matrix and get back to the grind. And chose to live in Austin, Texas. Matrix didn't work out for me. I was out of it in just a few months. But, you know, I didn't love being in the United States for obvious reasons. And I was like, well, Allie, you have to make the most of this. And so I tried, I actually got into indoor rock climbing and I loved it. I became such an indoor rock climbing gym rat, like going three or four times a week, spending 4 or 5 hours rock climbing with my friends. And it's honestly some of the best memories I will ever have. So it's just, if you don't have the means to travel, I'm going to advise you to even try new things like within your hometown. Like, get out of your house and go experience like art and wine tasting. If you're a foodie, go experience some new food. Like, go, like, just go, or just go if there's a town nearby, or if there is, you know, some type of activity going on. Like, you know, when Tiara returned to the United States, she learned in Sacramento that they have these board game nights that she went in to go check out. You know, it's just like there are events happening. You just got to be proactive and look for them. But it's like, get out there, try new things, like get out of the daily and try new things and try to have new experiences to discover, you know, what you like and what you don't like. And the more that you do that, the more you're going to connect to yourself. And the more that you connect to yourself, the more you will have this better understanding of yourself, of what you're capable of, what you need, what you don't need, what means more to you. Like, what are your priorities? Because for me personally, now I will always prioritize traveling. Always, always, always. There's still places I want to go. There's still things I want to experience. And I will always prioritize that before, you know, hanging around my town and like the town that I'm currently living in and just like doing the same day-to-day stuff, you know, like working remotely because I do work remotely. And, you know, just going to the same restaurants and going to the same cafes. It's just, you know, when I do have that little bit of extra money, I don't look for some type of, you know, new iPhone. I rather take that money and go have a new experience.
You know, I will say when I returned to the United States from Colombia and went back to my hometown, I decided to try some new things and I discovered an interest in raving. And here I am, almost 40 years old, and I absolutely freaking love raving. Like, I discovered a very specific interest, like genre of EDM that I like. I found a couple DJs that I absolutely love to the point where I'm like, I will follow these guys anywhere in Sacramento. Like, that's how much I love their music. So from that, I even discovered, hey, I kind of have an interest in DJing. Like, is that something I could do? So I have an interest in that too. And I found that just by going to some of these raves and learning more about myself through music. So, you know, my whole focus is once I have the means to kind of delve into that stuff a little bit more. But it, you know, it kind of goes to show that when you do try something new, you never know what can align for you and where it might lead and what you might learn and discover about yourself. And that could lead to additional opportunities. Like, you never know. You just have to go out and give it a try.
Right. And I love that Tiara got into that because, I mean, she had that passion inside of her, but she didn't have the awareness that it was there. And she had to go try some new things. She had to put herself out there and try some new things to learn, like, hey, this is a deep passion of mine. And you're not going to know that by always constantly being in your own head and worrying about schedules and work and commuting and bills. And I'm not saying that those things aren't reality, that those things are absolutely reality right now. And it is scary and it is uncomfortable and it is disheartening, but you just have to find ways to incorporate new things to get you excited about life, because life isn't all that exciting right now.
Right. It's really not. And I'm not going to lie, like, being able to go and enjoy music and do some of these other activities kind of takes my mind away from how rough life is in the U.S. right now. And it helps a lot. It helps tremendously. Speaking of the board games thing, I'll be going to one of those events tomorrow.
Nice. See, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just, I think it's really important that people take the time to reconnect to yourself and find your passions, find what makes you happy. Because if you don't take the time to do that, then you're just going to be stuck in this very negative and dark cycle and become complacent in it and just say, well, this is my life.
And
that breaks my heart, because life doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And this is why I'm a true advocate for spirituality. Now, I'm not I'm not an advocate for commercialized spirituality, so this is a trigger warning where, you know, unfortunately there are people in the new age space that have very big egos that want to push their beliefs onto you. They know how to sell, so they tell you what you want to hear. And this is why Tiara and I have always put out warnings about discernment and really using your intuition when it comes to finding additional support, when it comes to like healers, tarot readers, coaches, things like that. Because when you are vulnerable and people see that you're vulnerable, you're very easy to be taken advantage of. Mm. And unfortunately, that is something that happens a lot, and it steers people in the wrong direction. And unfortunately, it can happen. It does happen where people become more lost in their own journeys. And then they're just like, wait, I've already invested all this time and money and I feel like I'm getting nowhere. And that's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And, you know, unfortunately, I did get caught in that as well. And we've even talked to other people who have gotten caught in that trap. And it's so, so unfortunate, because it's almost like you go into it with the best of intentions, right? Like, gosh, like, I want to be better and I want to go on a different path and I want to do the healing and I want to like discover what it takes to like find true fulfillment. And then you stumble into these healers and this information that just takes advantage of your vulnerability and sends you in a direction that is not for your best and highest. And, you know, unfortunately, when you don't have any awareness around that or know any better, it can just lead to a lot of stagnation. And, you know, it's sad to see that happen to so many people, but that's why we created a space. And that's why we have this podcast, is we really want to catch those people that before they get ensnarled in some of that false, we call it false ascension matrix, which is just basically the misinformation, the disinformation that sends people who have awakened and want to go on a spiritual journey in the wrong direction. So Again, we have a community that's geared towards making sure you have the proper information and the right information and will not be sent in the wrong direction, because, you know, I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it feels like. I know what it can do. And at least in this space, we know better, you know? So we can't promote the Higher Vibe Tribe enough, because it's not a space you're going to find elsewhere. It's one of those rare, unique spaces that gives you the raw, gritty truth and keeps you from falling down the wrong hole.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Tiara. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I got that in me sometimes.
It's been quite the journey for Tiara, you guys, and I've been a very large component in that, with steering her in the right direction. It's, you know, I've just been very fortunate to have had the upbringing that I had. And it wasn't until we had a spiritual meeting yesterday with another woman, and she was just like, oh my God, like, that's amazing. Like, how lucky for you. And I knew my upbringing was most likely more unique. I mean, there's 8 billion people on this planet. I don't know how every one of you live, but it was really interesting to hear that validation of just like, how lucky for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, wow, okay. Like, someone who doesn't know me is saying that to me. So that's like validation.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's interesting, because as an African American, I feel like in many ways my upbringing was lucky too. Now, perhaps not in the same way that it was for Ali, but at least just in regards to, you know, if any of you guys know the statistics around African American households, 70% of them are fatherless. You know, many of those fatherless households, it's because the father's imprisoned or he's not wanting to be present. And I'm fortunate that I had both my parents in the same household, and I saw them every day, and they didn't want us to become African-American statistics. So, for example, they didn't want us to fall down the welfare pipeline, and they were very adamant about that. And so, you know, as far as breaking some of those stereotypes and generational cycles, like, I do consider myself very, very fortunate, because I see so many African Americans who just, they spiral and they fall into some of those negative patterns, and they become statistics. So, you know, in that regard, I do consider myself lucky.
Indeed. But thank you guys so much for tuning in on this episode. I hope that we were able to add clarity to like physical reality and the spiritual reality and being kind of stuck in the middle, and highlighting, you know, acknowledging like, yes, we understand what's going on in the collective right now, and we feel your pain. We've been there. And, you know, it was really through courage of stepping out of our comfort zones and, you know, trying new things that we kind of started to discover ourselves. And really, that's what spirituality should be about. It shouldn't be about all the other noise about love and light, and you need to do this ritual, and you need these crystals, and you need to pay for this service. And I mean, I'm not saying services aren't bad. They actually are fantastic, but I think it's very important that you're very selective about who you choose to do your service and what value those services bring to you and your journey. And I don't think enough people talk about that, which is another reason why we are also going to have an episode talking about services and what to look for, what not to look for, kind of what's out there. Basically, everything we did wrong in our journey, we want to highlight for you guys so you guys don't follow our ignorance and path.
Yes, how lucky you guys are.
Because, I mean, yeah, we're not perfect. We definitely have made mistakes.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about all the mistakes I've made. That'll be another episode.
So So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And then, yeah, please check us out on YouTube. We have some very interesting content. We have a couple channeling sessions out. So if you guys are curious about channeling our spiritual gifts, please do go and check those out. Also, all of our episodes are on there. And then also we have content talking about our community, what our community is about. And it is a 7-day free trial, you guys. Like, don't be afraid to sign up for the 7 days.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we know that perhaps we won't align with everyone. So we did put in the 7 days so that you guys can at least take a look around, see what kind of resources are on there, if anything resonates with you. And then if you decide it's not a fit for you, that's okay. But we at least wanted to give you guys that opportunity. So there is a 7-day free trial for the Patreon community. And you can even, while you're in that trial, like, reach out, ask us questions, post messages. So, you know, it's going to really give you the opportunity to fill out the space.
So I just want to thank everyone again, and I hope you all have a fantastic week, and thank you for listening to our podcast.
Yes. Thanks, you guys.